Good morning. Over the last few weeks, there has been a constant question in my house pretty much every night. And usually it comes from Ian. But the question is, are there any Christmas specials on TV tonight? We've watched Charlie Brown Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Trying to Catch the Grinch, A Year Without a Santa Claus, which is my personal favorite, and a whole bunch of others that we've seen. But that's his big thing. He wants to know what shows are on that night so that he can watch. And sometimes we have to tell him, well, yeah, they're on, but you can't stay up to watch them because you have to go to bed. But one that we've seen a number of times, because there's a lot of different versions, is A Christmas Carol. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. One of the ones that we did watch with Ian and the kids was Mickey Mouse Christmas Carol. You know, the cartoon version. There's live action versions. It's a different, it's a very popular story this time of year. And in A Christmas Carol, one of the reasons that we have to kind of watch with the kids is that it can be very intense for them because Scrooge is confronted by the ghosts. The ghost of his former partner. The ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And depending on how that's depicted, that can be a very intense thing for the little ones. Our story today is also about a supernatural meeting. Just like Scrooge, when he encountered those ghosts, it was a supernatural event. Our story today is also about a supernatural event. We're in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him his throne, the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Father God, as we look at these words, as we unpack some of what's going on here, as we meditate on this Christmas season and all that it, Father, I pray that you would touch our hearts. I pray that we wouldn't just look at this story and think, it's something great to think about once a year. But that the message that you have for us, the message that you have for me this morning, would stay and be a constant throughout the year. Father, I pray that you would touch my heart, touch all of our hearts. That as we hear these words, as we hear the message from you, that you would just make us different. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I love about stories like this in Scripture is that these were real people with real emotions and real reactions. And so as I go through and read stories like this, I really try to visualize, what was going on, all of the details of of the action there, you know, almost like watching a movie. And as I read this, I really tried to put myself into Mary's place. It's hard for me to put myself in the place of the angel, and they're really the only two characters that are in this story, because I don't know what angels do, how they act, how they react to things, but I can very well relate to Mary through this. And at the beginning of the story, she's just going about her business. We don't know exactly what she's doing here. You know, we don't know, you know, where she was, whether she was in the house, whether she was at the market, whether she was, you know, that it, all it says is that the angel came to her. But she was just going about her everyday, ordinary schedule. You know, whether she was, you know, cooking dinner, whether she was doing the laundry, whether she was, you know, out doing the shopping, we don't know what she was doing. She was just going about her normal business, and then all of a sudden, there's this being in front of her, the angel Gabriel, who's standing there. And because he's an angel, my guess is that he's big, he is different, she knows that he is different, and he's just not a normal person, and he's standing there, and he is bringing a message from God. Hi, I have a message from God, and it's just for you, because you're highly favored. Wow. Imagine if you're there. Wow. And then Scripture goes on to say, Mary is greatly troubled at his words. Greatly troubled at his words? She's not troubled that there's this angel standing in front of her. She's troubled at what he said. And he said that you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. What is that? Why would you be troubled by that? You know, God is saying, I'm here. You know, I believe that you're special. And she's troubled by that. It's a testament to her humility. She didn't believe that she was anything special. She was just trying to follow the Lord her God. And yet God is coming and saying, you're special. So after she kind of gets over that a little bit, the angel Gabriel continues on with, this is the plan. You found favor with God, you will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. She's going to be the mother of God's Son. Wow. I can't imagine the reaction to this. As I have read this passage dozens of times over the years, in verse 34, her reaction to all of this news, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? I've always interpreted that to be a kind of reaction, you know, almost panic, not knowing what's going on, confusion, you know, how can this be? You know, I'm a virgin. What do you mean I'm going to be pregnant? As I was preparing this message and doing, you know, more in-depth research in, you know, into what all this means, one of the things that the commentators pointed out was that her reaction is actually the complete opposite of that. When she asked the question, it wasn't in a panic, what do you mean I'm going to be pregnant? The question was, how is this going to happen? What do I need to do to be prepared for this thing to happen? In a matter of minutes, Mary was standing there going about her everyday business, just doing what she normally does, to finding out that she's favored by God, that God has picked her to be the mother of his son. And she didn't blink an eye. She didn't freak out. She didn't go run off screaming. She didn't say, well, let me go check with Joseph. Let me go talk to someone. Let me go to the temple. You know, let me find out what I need to do with all of this. Her reaction was, okay, God, if this is what you want, that's fine. What do you need me to do? The more I thought about this, the more just amazed I am at this reaction. Because that's certainly not how I would react. If this sort of thing happened to me, I'll guarantee you, I would be, you know, bouncing off the walls. What do you mean? What's going on? I wouldn't hear a word that the angel was saying because my mind would be running in 1,000 different directions. And yet Mary took by faith that this is what God wanted. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Just very matter of fact, okay, God, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do it. Contrast Mary's reaction to Zechariah's reaction just a little bit earlier in Luke chapter 1. Zechariah is the husband of Elizabeth. And in chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all of the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Then Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true in their proper time." Zechariah was a priest, serving in the temple. He was actually doing his duty in the temple when the same angel, Gabriel, came to him to give the same kind of news. You're going to have a baby. And what was Zechariah's reaction? Pretty much like mine would be. Scared to death. He doubted that it was going to happen. You know, what do you mean this is going to happen? I'm an old guy. My wife is too old to have a baby. That's never going to happen. He freaked out over the whole thing. And then he was punished. He was made mute because he didn't believe. You would think it would be the opposite kind of reactions. Zechariah is the priest. He's the one who is supposed to know God, be faithful to God, serve God. You want to do anything for God because that's what he was called to do. Mary is just the ordinary person going about her business, you would think she was the one who would be the one who was scared, the one who would doubt. But she didn't. Mary believed. Mary was obedient. Mary is the one who said, "I'm your servant. May it be to me as you have said." So what does all of this, you know, story mean to us? It's something that, again, we look at it every year. You know, we can think about it every year. But is it something that goes beyond that? And I think it is. One of the things that I've always appreciated about this part of the story overall is that Mary was just an ordinary person. She wasn't living in a palace. She didn't have lots of money. She was just an ordinary person like you and me. She didn't earn this privilege of being Jesus' mom. There was no beauty contest. You know, who is the best candidate to be the mother of the Son of God? You know, she didn't work her way up the corporate ladder. You know, she didn't do anything to be able to have this privilege. She was chosen by God because God believed she would be the best candidate for this. And all she did was say, "Okay, God, whatever you want." She was simply obedient. That's something that we can do each and every day. We can be like Mary. We can be obedient. Whatever it is that God is asking us to do. Now, admittedly, what God was asking Mary to do was a huge thing. He may not ask you and me to do those same kinds of things. But he does ask us to have the same attitude. He asks us to be obedient as well. So what are some of the things that he might ask us to do? Maybe it's helping a friend or a neighbor or a coworker who has a need. Making a meal, just encouraging them if they're down. Maybe it's doing something in the community. You know, doing something with the high school, volunteering at a pancake breakfast. Maybe it's doing something, you know, something else within the school system. Maybe it's traveling to New Jersey to help with the cleanup from Hurricane Sandy. Maybe there's something that can be done for the community of Newtown, Connecticut. Maybe it's going to Transnistria, working with kids in an orphanage who need to know about God. Maybe it's praying for someone. What is God calling us to do? As I've been spending time putting this message together over this last weekend, this really hit home for me. Because I got a phone call Friday morning from a very good friend of mine saying that his father had just passed away. This was someone that I knew through high school. We've been friends for a very, very long time. And I knew his family very well. And as someone who has also lost a parent, it was the kind of thing where I can relate to where he's at. I know some of the emotions that go on with all of that. At the same time, for me, when I encounter people who are going through that, it's very difficult for me to be able to really minister. I try, or at least I claim to try, but for me, it still brings up a lot of the very raw emotions that go along with that. Even though my mom died 25 years ago, it still can be very painful at times to think about just that period of my life, that sense of loss. So when my friend called to tell me about his dad passing away, first reaction is, sure, whatever you need, let me know. I'm here. I'll pray for you. And I have been praying for him. You know, to some degree, that's the easy thing to do. The hard thing is to really be there. The hard thing is to call him and to talk with him as he's going through his pain. Because it brings that pain back to me as well. But when it comes to being obedient, that's what God wants me to do. God wants me to be there for him. So I committed myself to God that that's what I would do, no matter how hard it is. Because that's what he wants. It would be very easy for me to say no to God on this and to be able to justify it in my own mind. It's Christmas time. I've got 4 kids trying to get all the details ready for Christmas. I'm trying to get a message ready for your people. You know, I've got all these different things going on. It would be very easy for me to just say, you know what, God, I appreciate the offer, but no thanks. But that's not what someone like Mary would do. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Whatever it is that you need, God, that's what I'm going to do. So my question to you is, what is God asking of you today? Whether it's big, whether it's little, what is he asking of you? What does he want you to do? The other thing that I love about this story is just the reinforcement. Mary was favored by God. Again, not because of anything that she did, not because she, she had perfect attendance at worship services, not because she read the scriptures every day. She wasn't favored because of something that she earned. She was favored simply because she was God's child. She knew God, she worshiped God, and she was favored. He made Mary. He created her. He created you. He created me. And he loves us. He loves us so much that he created this plan to redeem us because we're fallen, because we're sinners, because we don't do the right thing. In this plan, his son would be born as a baby, grow to become a man, live a life on this earth. He would be tempted in every way imaginable and yet never sin. And then he would become the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, dying on a cross and rising 3 days later. So that if you believe in him, and if I believe in him, we can have a relationship with God, who is our creator. And he did all of that because he loves us. We are like tiny bits of dust compared to him. He could very easily just not care at all. But yet, he loves us. He wants to adopt us and make us his children. He wants us to be his sons and his daughters because he is such an amazing and extraordinary God. But it can only happen if we are willing to have him change us, because we are sinners. We all mess up. I mess up every day. We can't cling to our sinfulness anymore. We can't let that rule us. We have to allow him to change our hearts to become more like his. The reason that we spend so much time in this season celebrating Christmas is because this is the amazing part of God's plan. When Christ entered our world, God came down to us so that through Christ, we can go and enter God's eternal world. This is an extraordinary, amazing, incredible event that happened because we serve an extraordinary, amazing, and incredible God. Because God did this, he changed me. He changed my heart. He made me his son. In the story of A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge was scared into changing his life around. He didn't want to end up with the future that was predicted for him by these ghosts. God doesn't want to scare us into changing. He wants to love us into changing. He loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus into this world so that we can enter his world. He loves us so much that we can become his children. We're still just ordinary people. We're sinners just like everyone else. But for those that know him and love him, we believe in this extraordinary God who does extraordinary things that can bring us into his glory. I pray that as you meditate on this Christmas season, that his love would become real to you and more real to you, that you'd experience it in a deeper way. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for these words, for this example of Mary, who, in spite of the incredible task that you laid out for her, was just obedient. What do you want me to do, God? I'll do it. Father, I pray that you would change our hearts to be that way as well. That no matter what it is that you ask us to do, that we will be obedient to you. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you that through Jesus being on this earth, through his death and his resurrection, that we can be in a relationship with you, that we can call you Father. Father, I thank you so much for all that you've done. In Jesus' name.